Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The gospel reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Isaiah, of the 8th century before Christ, foresaw a new day of peace and security for the people of God. And he spoke of the forthcoming birth of a child as a sign of it, as we just read. The evangelist Matthew, in turn, who was a student of the scriptures, saw the birth of Jesus to be the culmination of the hopes of the past, the fulfillment of the hopes of Israel, and for the sake of the world as a whole. Hear now from Matthew's Gospel, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife and had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. We pray these things in the name of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. There's nothing easy about being chosen by God to do something. And Joseph was certainly chosen. Mary, his beloved friend and one whom he loved deeply, probably since childhood, would soon become his wife. Now, just a little clarity. A betrothal, he was betrothed to her. A betrothal is a contract between families and usually lasted about a year. And the second step was the actual marriage ceremony to be husband and wife. My imagination this week kind of went crazy about what could have happened. Help me to understand a little bit more as I imaginatively got into the story. So humor me for a moment. Perhaps it'll help you too. So Mary and Joseph are about to get married. In fact, it's very soon. Wedding festivities were already underway at Mary's house. So I can just see him sitting at the carpenter's bench, absorbing this shocking news from his bride-to-be. Perhaps she told him along with her grief-stricken father by her side. Now, Mary and Joseph had not had any intimacy or sexual relations at that point. Mary was a virgin. He couldn't reconcile the girl he knew and loved with this devastating news. She came with her father to the door of Joseph's home. Three words. "I am pregnant." He looked at both of them and said nothing. What would he do? It was his decision, after all. The father was grief-stricken. What would happen to his daughter if he said no? Not a pretty picture in those days. Now, instead of planning a wedding feast, likely Joseph would now begin the painful process of divorce. Mary had left her home to live with Joseph because the betrothal legally bound them together, but now Joseph could not go forward with the plans. If he stayed with her, everyone would assume the baby was his, but he would be living a scandalous lie. He was angry, but as he discerned it more, he realized that a public divorce would shame her. There would be nowhere for her to hide. Her sin of adultery would be known to everyone. He was heartbroken, his best friend since childhood. How could she do this? She told him quietly, likely that she didn't commit adultery, but, yeah. How do you believe that? Picture how others would have spoken to Joseph when the news of Mary's pregnancy began to spread. She's lying to you. She slept with someone else and you're falling for it. Leave her and save your own reputation. You can find another wife. So Mary and her father left Joseph to himself to think about what he should do next. After they were gone in the quietness of his home, he prayed. And something happened to him in his prayer, as a devout Jew who knew the scriptures very well. He remembered God's word, the words of scripture from another passage in Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Now the wick and the reed are very important symbols in Isaiah's prophecy. A smoldering wick would be snuffed out before it got out of control. A reed, which is a writing instrument that was broken, would be snapped in half and thrown into the fire. Anyone would do these things. Anyone but God. You see, God is outrageously, incredibly merciful. God's definition of justice is not what you and I think. It's not one of crime and punishment, but to show mercy to the wounded, the broken, the vulnerable, and the exhausted. So the word of Isaiah cleared his mind, even though his heart was heavy, and Joseph made another decision. Indeed, he would divorce her, but he would do it quietly. He wouldn't make a big scene about it. He didn't want to embarrass her. After all, they were friends, even though in his mind, how could she do this? He knew she probably felt like a bruised reed, broken. He saw the tears in her eyes before she left, but his decision wasn't the end of it. There was more for Joseph to learn. That night, he had a dream as he fell asleep in deep sorrow. As tears lulled him into that deep sleep, an angel of the Lord came to him and told him what was happening. Thank goodness for angels who can straighten us out there, right, in a dream. And thankfully, Joseph listened to that angel. His faith was strong enough to seek only the approval of God. Fast forward, next day. He sat up at dawn with last night's grief swept away by the angel's message. With joy in his heart, he showered, got dressed. It was a new day, a new perspective, and a new purpose. It was time to take his wife back home. It was the beginning of their wedding week, a whole week of the festivities. So he went to Mary's house, where I imagine he was met by her father, who was greatly distressed. I'm not sure he knew how Mary got pregnant at that point either, for she was often very quiet about her angelic visitations. So Joseph told her father, "Yes, I'm going to take my wife back home." Imagine the joy in her father's heart at that moment. Imagine the joy and the relief of Mary, who stood in her wedding gown, wondering if Joseph would come for her after the news. He took her hand, and the two of them began to walk through the town, which was customary, with the groomsmen and the music following. And so the party begins. Even though Joseph takes a background role after that, he was the provider and the protector of that little family. Later we read that he flees to Egypt to avoid Herod's murderous intentions. Joseph had a calling, and he wasn't looking to get credit for it. He was just going to do his job as a husband and a father, trusting and obeying God. He fulfilled his part of the story. And we don't read much about him after that. But he leaves us with some big lessons to ponder today. Joseph shows us that we are all part of the story, all of us. When God calls us to do something that's part of something bigger, even if we don't fully understand what's going on or not necessarily going to get credit for it, we do it because there is something so much more, so much bigger, so much better going on. And Joseph certainly met that challenge. In another chapter in Matthew, it says this: "Then your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." What was the reward? What was the reward that Joseph got for doing what God called him to do, even if it's very scary and very hard? I believe Joseph experienced great joy as he stood next to Mary after the birth of Jesus, marveling at the shepherds and the kings who offered generous gifts, lots of very valuable gifts, and a host of heavenly angels singing. Imagine his wonder and the joy of that moment. For us, when we are in a difficult place, when we are in a place that we don't understand why things are happening the way they happen, there's three things that we can glean from the way Joseph did this. First, in prayer, and then remembering God's word. That's why it's so important for us to read the scripture, because it comes to us in moments like this so that we can hear what the heavenly message is that we must lean into. It will always point the way in difficult days that we may live in, and especially in the difficult days we live in today. He'll point the way for us so that we can experience great joy. Often this time of year brings stress and family conflict or difficulties. For some, Christmas may just be a memory of better days gone by. We expect happiness, but there's no happiness. But there is joy. We must choose it. When God is near, joy is near. This is why we worship, you see. We worship here in church. We worship at home. We worship in the car. We worship at work. We worship in the grocery store. Worship. Prayer. Remembering God's word. Joseph showed us how. He showed us that worshiping God in the most difficult situations, God is always, always faithful. Our circumstances change all the time. Joseph's certainly did. Yet when we focus on God, outward forces will not control our inner feelings. Even though things shift and change around us, God is immovable. God is there for us. Today, drink from the fountain of his abiding love that he sent in a tiny little baby named Jesus. Be renewed in courage and confidence, which is found when we worship. This beautiful truth is yet another indication that joy is greater than happiness. Joy is not built on outward circumstances, but on Christ within us. Not on a feeling, but believing that there is something bigger than ourselves. There is something more that God is doing in our lives. So, in conclusion, no matter what we go through, we can have joy because God is with us. Good days, there's joy. Bad days, there's joy. Suffering, there's joy. When everything goes my way or when nothing goes my way, there's joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come and is coming for you and for me and inside of us as we bring it to others. Praise God. There is joy. Amen.